Morning. I'm excited to hear from him. We're so excited that you have came to join us this morning. All of our guests, we're honored, we're privileged. I know I've said that, but I really can't say that enough, that you've decided to spend this day with us. We're going to be this morning, as you well know, in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and I know I just had you sit down, but whenever you find your place there, in 1 Corinthians 15, I would ask if you wouldn't mind to stand as we read the Word of God this morning. The reason we stand is because what we hold in our hands this morning is the eternal, infallible, perfect, preserved Word of the living God. These are not the words of man. The Bible says that it was not by the will of man that we have the Scriptures, but by the Holy Spirit of God moved as holy men of old spake. And this is the inspired Word of God that we get to read this morning. You know, there's a lot of countries that don't have this privilege to be able to stand and read and hear the Word of God explained and then not worry about what the government's going to think or anything like that. And so I'm thankful that we have the Word of God to look at. And, you know, I've got nothing for you this morning. If you came looking for something that'll change your life for me, then you came to the wrong place because I do not have anything for you. But I happen to know someone who does. And the Word of God is powerful and quick, sharper than any two-edged sword. And I know that God, I'm confident that God's going to work through His Word this morning. And so let's go ahead and read our passage starting in verse number 19. The Apostle Paul says this: "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Aren't you glad this isn't the end, this life? That would be a pretty hopeless situation. But verse 20 says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." I'll explain that here in just a moment. "For since by man came death," that's Adam, "by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." I love this. "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." That's the death of death, my friends, right there. Verse 27, "For he hath," Christ hath, "put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things to put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him." That would be the Father. Verse 28, "And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." That's where history is going, where God is all in all. So let's pray and we'll get into our passage this morning. God, thank you so much again for this day and what it represents, God, that 2,000 years ago you came, you died, and you rose again. Help us really take that to heart. Lord, we've sang about it. We've talked about it. Lord, we've praised you for it already. But God, help us to keep this truth in our heart, in the forefront of our mind. And God, I pray that you'd help us to understand your word this morning. Help me as I preach it and declare it. I pray that your Holy Spirit would do a mighty work in the hearts of your people today. Christ and I pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So Job asked the question in Job 14:14. He said, "If a man die, shall he live again?" He asked that. But you know, Job isn't the only person that has asked that question. Every man in their soul, at some point in their life, will grapple with the thought of what happens after we die. Is there life after death? All throughout history of mankind, every society, every religion has had to deal with that question. The ancient Egyptians believed that the soul could not enjoy immortality unless the body was preserved. And so what did they do? Well, they mummified their people and preserved their bodies as long as they could. Religions like Hinduism and Brahmanism and Buddhism believe in what's called reincarnation, that when you die, your soul comes back and you'll indwell something else, like a bug or a cat or a cow or another person or something, right? The ancient Greek religions, they would place a silver coin in the mouth of the one who died. Why? So they can pay the fare across the river of death into the afterlife. In China and Japan, belief in the afterlife took the form of ancestor worship. The American Indians, they placed within the grave of their departed one his bow, his arrow, and often his pony, so that they just to make sure that that American Indian was ready for what they called the happy hunting grounds. And why are there so many opinions about this? You look throughout history. You look throughout history at every region of this planet, and you'll find that people have been trying to figure out what happens after this life ends. It's because everyone lives with an understanding that one day your life will be over. One day it will end. We all know that. Welcome to Valley Avenue Baptist Church. But it is a truth, isn't it? All life will end one day. And so throughout the ages, mankind knew that there had to be something after that. They knew it. They know it. You know it in your soul. You know there's something after this. In your soul, you know that your loved one went somewhere when they passed from this earth. And there's no way this life is the end. And so mankind has been trying to figure it out and coming up with all kinds of crazy and wild possibilities about what happens after death. We know one thing for sure. All that list I read you, we know one thing. They can't all be right. They're all way different, aren't they? But that's kind of a big deal, isn't it? Wouldn't that be a big deal? I cannot think of a more important thing to know for sure than what happens to you after you die. I can't think of a more important thing to think about this morning. But unfortunately, so many people today get themselves so busy. Busy with this life, busy with social media, busy with fantasy worlds, that they rarely think about the next life. Unfortunately, that's our society, isn't it? And if you ask somebody, you know, what's going to happen after you die? Now, I wouldn't suggest that as an icebreaker, you know, maybe not the first thing you say to somebody. But if you know someone well enough that you know them, and you say, so what will happen after you die? Usually they say something like this, well, I think I'll go to heaven. Well, don't you think you should figure that out? That's a big deal, isn't it? It might seem like you're going to live for a long time, but even if you live to be 100 plus years, that is nothing in the scope of eternity. I'm talking forever and ever. When you pass from this earth, you will wake up somewhere. Where's that going to be forever and ever? I think that's worth consideration. Don't you? If you were to pass from this life today, what would happen next? Oh, that's not going to happen. You don't know that. What would happen next? And it can be scary if you don't know. Some of you are scared right now. I don't know. Aren't you glad we don't have to try to figure that out? We do not have to try to figure that out. If I had to come up with something, it'd be way worse than happy hunting grounds. I don't know what it would be. But we don't have to try to figure it out. I'm glad I'm not going to be a bug in the next life. You know what I'm saying? Stick a trap? No, thank you. I'm glad we don't have to figure it out. The Bible tells us exactly what happens next. You can know what happens next. The Bible is very clear that when your body dies, I'm specifically saying your body, because when your body dies, it will return to dust where it came. Because we're all kind of dirt bags, aren't we? Wasn't Adam formed from the dust of the earth? And isn't that exactly what we turn back into? Your body will go right back to dust, but your soul will continue to live. It will continue to live. The Bible is very clear that the moment you close your eyes in death, you will open your eyes in one of two places, a very real place called heaven or a very, very real place called hell. Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 5:8, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body. How can you be absent from your body? That's what happens when you die. You are not your body, you will become absent from your body. You see? When someone passes from this earth, they pass from this earth, their body saved. And Paul said, when I am absent from my body, to be present with the Lord. For a believer, to be absent from your body is to be present with the Lord. In Luke 16, Jesus described the rich man who had a comfortable life. He had everything he wanted in this life. He was able to live it up. He didn't give any thought about the next life. He was so enamored. He was so enamored with the things that he was able to do because of his wealth that he never, ever gave serious thought about what would happen if he passed that day. Well, one day he did pass from this life. And Jesus said he died and was buried. And then in Luke 16:23, Jesus says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. Listen, you cannot believe in Jesus and not believe in what Jesus taught right there. That hell is a reality. Yeah. And your body will die one day, but you will continue to live forever in the presence of the Lord, or you will open your eyes in an eternal hell that's very real. You know, Jesus talked more about that than he did heaven, because he came to warn us, didn't he? He came to seek and to save us. Save us from what? From that. He doesn't want us to experience his judgment. And that's why he came. That's why he was judged on the cross, so you don't have to be judged. Pastor Chad, why are you talking like this? It's Easter. It's spring weather. Don't you see the bright colors? See, my daughter's pretty dress. The candy. You're kind of killing the mood. I understand that, but this is what Easter's all about, my friend. Jesus died on the cross, and he was buried, but he didn't stay dead, did he? He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Well, why did he have to rise? Because he died. Why did he die? So that you don't have to die. John 3:16. Everyone knows that verse. They forget a word in that verse. It goes like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish. That's hell forever. Jesus came so you don't have to perish, but instead have everlasting life. He came to offer life to you. He came to die on the cross and rise to new life so that one day you can rise to everlasting life. That's why he came. Hey, God knows who you are. God knows what you deserve. God knows you'll live forever somewhere. He created you. He created you to live forever. That's why you have those feelings. That's why you know this life isn't the end. Because God created you, and he created you to live forever. And you will live forever. And God knows that. But God wants you to live forever with him. He does not want you to live forever away from him in hell forever. But he knows that we deserve that. And he cannot overlook our sin. And so that's why Jesus came and died for our sin. Because he wants you to live forever with him. He wants that. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's why he rose again. The Bible says that we all deserve wrath. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. You've sinned. And I've sinned. Your grandma has sinned. I know. What? Everyone has sinned. All have sinned. And come short, not of the guy that you're comparing yourself with. Come short of the glory of God. And what is heaven other than the glory of God? And we would mess it up if not for Christ who died for us. We don't deserve heaven. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 says. The wages of your sin. You have sin, and the wages, the payment, the penalty for that is death. And we're not talking about physical death. Everyone dies physically. We're talking about the second death in Revelation 20. Death forever in a place called the lake of fire. That's what we deserve. And God knew that. And God knew there's no way that you could ever pay for your own sins except for hell forever. And so God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, that's all it takes. It doesn't say whoever believeth in Him and get baptized and goes to church and pays tithes and is a good person. No, no. It says, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. And so God became a man named Jesus Christ to become the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. And He died on a cross to pay for your sins. Jesus took the mocking. He took the beatings. He took the nails in His hands and His feet. He took the crown of thorns. Why? Because He loves you. And He does not want you to spend eternity away from Him. He died on the cross and took God's wrath in His own body so that you don't have to take God's wrath in your own body forever. But He didn't stay dead. He arose. He defeated death. He defeated sin. And now He offers eternal life to you. But sadly, so many in our society, they're trying to convince themselves that this life is the end. This is it. That's how our society is. Religion is dumb. We're just conning people with the Bible. There's nothing that happens after this. You die, that's it. And they live like this life is all there is. And again, I cannot believe that they truly believe that in their heart. But that's how most people live, isn't it? Aren't you glad this isn't the end? I'm glad this isn't the end. If this life is all we have, then you just need to do what the world's doing. Just do what the world's doing. Go out there and get what you can from this life. Our society's motto is YOLO, right? You only live once, and so experience as much as you can. Live it up. If there's no afterlife, if there's nothing to look forward to, then all you got is this. And what is there to live for if this is the end? All you have is to try to be happy, to try to find as much pleasure as you can before you're gone. I mean, you can try to leave a legacy, but seriously, how many people do you know that lived 100 years ago? Not many. If this life is the end, it's no reason why so many have no hope. There's no reason why there's so much depression and anxiety. There's no reason, there's no wonder that there's so many people with zero hope. Because that's depressing. If this life is the best it will ever be. But listen, if this life is the end, then Christians are even more miserable. Look in verse 19, where Paul says this. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Those who have only this life to look forward to are pretty hopeless and pretty miserable. But if they're right, we are the most miserable, aren't we? Why would we be wasting our time here today? It's a nice day out, isn't it? We can be doing all kinds of things other than listening to some boring guy rant about the Bible and resurrection. We'd be wasting our time trying to live a holy life. Why go to church every time the doors are open? Why love people? Why tithe? Why spend our time telling others about a resurrection and then be mocked and ridiculed for it? We'd be wasting our life restraining our flesh. No, this is the life. Is this the only life we have? We need to let our flesh go. Why not watch those movies we're not supposed to watch? Why not listen to that music? Why not drink away our pain? Why not just let people know exactly what we think of them? Why wouldn't we just do that if there's no resurrection? If there's no resurrection, this life would be all there is, and we should just do anything that feels good. We should just eat and drink and have fun. We should just drink ourselves to death to forget how miserable our life is and just get ready for the end of it. That's how we ought to live if there's no resurrection. But Christ is risen, isn't He? Verse 20. But now is Christ risen. And He was seen by 500. He was seen by the apostles, who again, if you're here for Sunday school, you know this. If Jesus didn't rise, if Jesus truly didn't rise, the people who would know it most were the apostles. The ones who walked around with Him. The ones who saw Him live a perfect life. The ones who saw Him die on the cross. The ones who saw Him rise from the dead and saw Him after He died walking around. The ones who saw Him ascend to heaven. They told people, they saw that with their eyes. If they were lying, they would know it. And people die for things that they're confused about all the time. They don't know it's a lie, but they die for it. But nobody dies for something they know is a lie. But all of these men died for their faith. They died because they would not deny the fact that Christ arose. And he is risen. He is risen. Yep. Yeah. And all of them died because they would not deny Christ arose. And so we know, listen, we know by eyewitness testimony who were willing to die over it, that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. He died on the cross and he rose from the grave. And listen, if he did arise, then we're not wasting our time. If he did arise, he has defeated death. If he did arise, he has defeated sin. If he has risen, then we have every reason to live for him. We have every reason to be here because he died. Why? So that our sins can be forgiven. Why? So that we don't have to spend eternity in hell, but we can live with him forever. And that's something to be excited about. That's something to serve God about. And that's something to be at church every Sunday about. He is risen, just like he said. But Jesus isn't the only one who rose. He's not the only one who will rise from the dead, never to die again. Paul said in the rest of our verse, verse 20, halfway through, and become the first fruits of them that slept. And so Christ wasn't the first, he's not the last one who will rise and never die again, but he is the first one who rose and never died again. Wait, what are you talking about? Because in the Old Testament, there were people who rose from the grave. Elijah, remember the boy that Elisha spread over and rose back from the dead? Jesus himself rose countless people from the dead. How is it that he can say this, that Jesus is the first one? Well, because those men died again, didn't they? Jesus is the first one who arose in a glorified body, never to die again. But I want to tell you this, and you have to understand this morning. He's not the last one who's going to rise, never to die again. He's not the last one. Yeah. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. What's the first fruits? I need some people to help me. Who wants to help me be first fruits? All right, any volunteers? There's two right there. Thanks, huh? I need five. You got some boys? Can you guys be helpers? Can you help me out? Can you guys help me out? You two? Yep, you two. And then you two. Who else am I going to get to be up here and be a first fruit? It's really easy. All you got to do is stand up and sit down. You got those two? Yep, thanks. And you two. Come on. You can do it. Come on. All right. You guys want to get home and get lunch or what? Oh, we've got him? Okay, sweet. Five will be great. Yeah, come on, bud. All right. Okay, you stand here. You stand here. All right, you stand right here. Great job. Actually, come here in the middle because you're awesome. Right here. And you be right here. You two over here. Okay. Now, first fruits. What are we talking about? Well, farmers. Go over there. So farmers today have big fancy tractors, right? And they can plow a field and plant seeds in no time flat, can't they? Takes them no time. And so you drive through the beautiful plains of Nebraska, and what you'll see soonly is like an entire bed of ground just go all at one time, right? Why? Because they planted that thing in like a day. I don't know how long it takes them, but it doesn't take it very long to plant a whole field, right? Because they have tractors. In that day, it wasn't like that. They didn't have tractors. And so it would take them a long time to plant a field. And so they would come and they would plant the first one. So you come over here and you sit right here. So they would plant, go ahead and take a seat right there. Boom! You're good form. And then they would go and plant another seed. And this would take a little while, maybe take a couple days, and they would keep planting. Can you sit down? Nice. Impressive. And then they would keep planting. Go ahead. And then they keep planting. And this would take a long time to do. Well, whenever harvest came, the harvest, the crop would rise, wouldn't it? But it would rise in what order? Well, whatever was planted first. And so go ahead and stand. Rise. Boom. You stop. Wait. He's excited. So this guy right here, this is the first fruits. The first fruits that rose. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that probably the rest will eventually rise. Go ahead. You see? And that's how it would go. And you would watch a crop just rise and rise and rise and rise and rise. But the first fruit came first, and the rest are still in the ground. Now, it's all interesting in the Old Testament that God demanded from his people that they tithe the first fruit. The first 10% that came up, they were to cut it and give it to God before the rest came. Why? Because they were trusting that God would give the rest of the harvest. You see? And it's the best, and it's the first, and it's a promise that God will provide the rest. But this is the first fruits, and it's a promise that the rest is coming. Are you following? Okay, now you guys, you can come sit down right here. Well, you guys can go sit with your family. You too. Whatever. I need you back in a little bit, okay? All right, so that's the first fruits. And so the Bible says that Christ would be the first fruits, and then what that means, they would have known this, that what that means is there's going to be more who rise. Are you following? He was the first fruits of those risen from the dead, never to die again. What that means is there will be more who rise, never to die again. You see? Are you following? Now keep looking. Verse 21. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. So because of Adam, all men die. And because of Christ, look what it says in verse 22. For as in Adam, how many die? All. Now listen to this. Even so in Christ shall how many? All be made alive. All men will die. All men will be made alive. All men? Wait, hold on. Time out. What about the lost? Even the lost will be made alive one day. Yep. Daniel 12:2 says this. You don't have to turn there unless you just like to. But he says, and many of them that slept in the dust of the earth shall awake. Listen, they'll awake. That means they'll be made, they'll come back to life. Some to everlasting life. And listen, and some to everlasting shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel said that. Some will rise to everlasting life. Some will rise to everlasting contempt. Jesus himself, the same one who said, John 3:16, says this in John 5:24 through 29, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come in condemnation, but is passed from death to life. So the moment you get saved, in a sense, spiritually, you've resurrected, right? You have new life as a Christian. But then he says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of God, and they that shall hear shall live. And so that's where we're living right now. Right now, if the dead spiritually hear the word of God, the dead spiritually hear the gospel, they know that they're dead spiritually, and they need to be saved. Jesus said, the hour right now is, that if you hear the gospel, you can be saved. Everyone can be saved. There's not somebody that's too far gone. Every single person can be forgiven of their sins and given life in Christ and can have a heaven to look forward to. Everyone is that way. That's where we live right now. And spiritually, you can be made alive. But then he goes on. And he says this. For as the Father hath life in himself, and he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he's the Son of Man, Jesus says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. So it hasn't come yet, but it's coming. The hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves, Jesus said this, all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth all. They that have done good unto resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Well, what's good and what's evil? Well, he said it. The doing of good is not doing good works and earning heaven. The good thing that allows you to be part of the resurrection of life is believing in the Son, believing in what Jesus did on the cross. Faith in Christ allows for you to be part of that first resurrection. You see? The resurrection of life, but there is the resurrection of damnation, he says. Jesus said. Revelation 20, verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he that is part of the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. Those who are saved, if you're part of that first resurrection, the resurrection of life, to live with God forever, the second death, the lake of fire, has no power over you. You don't have to worry about that. The first resurrection is that same one that Jesus called the resurrection of life. And the second resurrection is what Jesus called the resurrection of damnation. Look in our text again. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 23. But every man in his own order. Every man what? Every man will rise again with a new body that will never die again in their order, in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ, that is coming, then cometh the end. Can I get my helpers again one more time? You guys are awesome. You guys are really good at this. Standing up and sitting down. Very impressive. Back to where you were, please. Thank you. Thank you. You're awesome. Thank you. You are the best. Okay. Okay, let's see. Right here. Right there. Okay. Now, you're not Jesus, but you represent the resurrection of Jesus. Okay? All right. Now don't be showing them that, because they're going to want to know. I'm just cheating. Can you hold that? Okay. Okay. Now, don't show it. Don't show them. Okay. Now, you guys can be seated. Be seated for a second. Can you be seated? Thank you. Oh, you're awesome. Okay. So, Paul said this. Christ is the first fruits. He's the first one who rose never to die again. So can you stand for me, sir? Not you, just you. And show them that. Nice and high. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Give him a hand. Yeah. Nice job. Woo! Okay. So he's the first fruits. Remember? What that means is there will be more. And here, look what it says in verse 23. Christ is the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Can you stand, sir, please? Thank you. And show him the thing. The resurrection of those in Christ. So if you've been saved, if you're here today and you're saved, there's coming a day. Remember Jesus died and he rose again and he went back to heaven? There's coming a day when he's coming back to earth. And if you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which we won't take the time to explain all of that this morning, but it tells us, it makes it very clear, that when Christ comes back, he won't come all the way back to the earth at first. He's going to come back in the air. And the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise. And that what's going to happen is, at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, is they'll get a new body. The incorruptible, decaying, gross, nasty body will be changed into something immortal and glorious, and a body that is fit to live for all eternity. And the Bible says, if you're saved today, you look forward to a day when Jesus comes back and you will rise. If you're still alive when he comes, we're still going to be changed. The Bible says, I got to find it because it's awesome. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now that's the motto of our nursery, first. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. But that's not what he meant. What he meant is this. We're not all going to die because if the rapture happens today, we're being taken up. But we will all be changed. And we'll receive a new body up there. You see? Because you don't want to live in heaven with this body. Not going to work. If you died today, listen, if you died today, your soul is in heaven. Your soul will be in heaven. Not your body yet. And when Jesus comes back, he'll take your soul with him. And in the air, your body will reunite with your soul. And you will have an incorruptible body that lives forever with Christ. Are you following that? That's the next one. That's Christ at his coming. But that's not the end either. Okay? He's like, so ready. All right, one second. So then, after that, after the rapture happens, listen, this is serious. After the rapture happens, the reason the rapture is a thing, the reason why Jesus is going to take all that are his out of here, is because he's going to pour his judgment on this earth. And that's Revelation chapter 6 through 19. If you've read Revelation chapter 6 through 19, you do not want to be here for that, where God pours his judgment out on this earth. And it's going to be, Jesus said, worse than it's ever been in the history of mankind, because this earth deserves judgment. And Jesus has been gracious to not pour it out. But after the rapture happens and you start seeing saved people disappear, you know that next thing that's going to happen is God's going to pour his judgment on this earth. You don't want to be here for that. Well, during that time, a man called the Antichrist will rise. And during that time, some will be saved during the tribulation. Well, how do you know that? Well, because the Bible says that those who got saved during the tribulation and got martyred by the Antichrist, those who got saved during the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to martyr them. He's going to kill all of them. And what's going to happen is, you ready to rise up? come out. Boom! Can you show? The resurrection of the tribulation saints. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 that they'll rise from the grave. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, those who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, they lived. Listen, those who were killed by the Antichrist lived. What does that mean? They rose from the dead to reign with Christ 1,000 years. And so they'll rise. So Christ the first fruits, then us, the dead of Christ at the rapture, then those who died during the tribulation. But that's not all. What about those who live in the Old Testament? You ever think of that? What about them? They weren't necessarily in Christ. They were before Christ. And they're not alive during the tribulation. Well, Daniel tells us that they'll rise. And I don't want to take too much of your time this morning, but Daniel called it the resurrection of life. Daniel called it the resurrection of life. And it'll happen. Daniel called the tribulation, Daniel 70 weeks or the 70th week. So anyway, Daniel's saying after that 70th week, they'll rise. Go ahead. And those who were saved in the Old Testament will rise. And they'll receive their glorified bodies. And then all of these that have trusted in Christ throughout the ages will rise and will live with Christ forever. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. But they're not the only ones who's going to rise either. Because Jesus said, there will be those who rise to life everlasting. And they'll live forever with Christ. But there will be those who rise to everlasting damnation. And so Paul says, then cometh the end. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, God will call all of the lost who have died. The Bible says death and hell will deliver up their bodies, and they will receive, listen, at that time, they will receive a body fit for damnation. And the Bible says that whoever was not found in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. And so at that day, the second resurrection, you want to rise? Sorry, you got the hard one. These are all part of the first resurrection. These are part of the resurrection of life. If you trust in Christ as your Savior, you will rise to live with God forever. But just because you're not saved doesn't mean you won't rise again. It doesn't mean you're annihilated. It doesn't mean you just cease to exist. No, no. The Bible is very clear that if you reject Christ, there will come a day where you will stand before Him. You will be resurrected in a body, and you will stand before the great white throne, and God will cast those who rejected Christ in the lake of fire forever. All will rise. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. You can keep those if you want. Give them a hand. Thank you. So that's the first fruits of the resurrection. That's the, in a sense, the harvest. Okay, why are you saying all this? Because Jesus rose, didn't He? Jesus rose. And the Bible is very clear that because Jesus arose, will arise. Will arise. You will one day receive a new body. You will in Adam all die, and in Christ all. Look at it again. Look at verse 22. For in Adam all die. You will die one day. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. And then what we read. Then cometh the end, where verse 24, where He hath delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father. What's happening, and it's kind of a confusing chapter right there, but after that day when Jesus casts all into the lake of fire, here's why He does that. You might say, why would Jesus do that? Why would God do that? Here's what He's doing. He's already at this point cast Satan in the lake of fire. He's cast the demons in the lake of fire. He's cast the Antichrist in the lake of fire. He cast the false prophet in the lake of fire. And here's why He's doing that. At that point, He'll cast all of sin. What He's doing is He's going to separate sin from Him and His people for eternity. Are you following? This is where the history of man is going. One day, all of sin will need to be separated from God and His people so that for eternity we can live with Christ without the influence of sin. Are you following? That's why He's doing that. And Jesus knows he's going to do that one day. God knows that. God knows that one day he will separate sin. The Bible says that God created the lake of fire for the demon and his angels. It was not created for us. When Satan sinned in heaven and was cast out of heaven and those demons followed him, Jesus knew that one day he was going to separate them from himself for all eternity. And he was going to take all of sin and separate it from him from all eternity. God didn't intend for man to be there, but man gave in to the sin of Satan, didn't we? And we have all sinned, and God has to separate sin from himself. He can't just ignore sin, can he? God cannot ignore sin. He has to one day separate sin from him and his people. But here's what he's going to do. Here's what he did do. That's why Jesus came. You see? That's why Jesus came. Just think of it this way. Think about you thinking like Christ did, and you know you're God, and no, you're not. But like again in his mind, and you look down at humanity and you see those that you created and you love them so much, and you're seeing what they're headed toward, and you're seeing the eternal damnation that is awaiting them, and we can get upset about that all we want, but it's the reality. And God looked down at humanity and said, I love them, but I cannot ignore their sin, and their sin has to be paid for, and one day sin will have to be separated from me. The only thing I can do is become a man and die for their sin myself. That's what God did. And that's why God became a man. For God so loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's what God is trying to avoid in your life. That have everlasting life. But it's your decision, you see. God did everything he could to keep you from that, other than just making you. He could have just made us all robots and forced you to believe. But God's not like that, is he? God doesn't force anybody to do anything. But God did everything he could, didn't he? He came, he became a human, he died on the cross, he gave us his word, he gave us churches like this that proclaim this truth. And God is trying to get your attention, and he's trying to warn you before it's too late that he came to be your savior. Why? Because he does not want to come to be your judge. But one day, he will judge sin. What that means is our sin needs to be paid for. And that doesn't mean you have to work really hard and try to be a good person or get baptized or anything like that. The Bible is very clear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're hearing this morning, you know this is true. You know this is true. And you know that you'll be receiving a new body one day. The question is this, where will you be? Where will you be when you resurrect into a new body? Will you live forever in perfect peace with God? Or will you live forever in the lake of fire? Will you be a part of what Jesus called the resurrection of life? Or will you be a part of what Jesus called, not me, Jesus called the resurrection of damnation? But God gave his Son. You know, you can know that. You can know for sure. You can leave today knowing for sure that if you died today, where you would go. Because 1 John 5:13 said this, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." If you believe in what Jesus did on the cross for you, you believe you deserve the wrath of God, but Jesus took it on the cross. You believe that with all your heart, and you confess with your mouth that Christ died and was raised the third day for your sin, and you ask him to forgive you, then you can have your sins forgiven. And the Bible says there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And you can look forward to a life forever with him. And you can know for sure that you have eternal life. Listen, you don't get to choose whether or not you live forever. You don't get to choose that. God made you that way. But you right now, you have a choice. If you're going to spend eternity with Christ and God forever, or if you're going to spend eternity away from him. It's up to you. It's your choice. But God's done what he can. And he has risen. And so will you. And he wants you to rise and be with him forever. Let's bow together. God, we come before you this morning, humbled. Lord, as we consider this truth, that you rose from the grave, you, Lord, became a man and died for our sin and rose from death. And you defeated death Lord, you defeated sin so that we can have our sins forgiven, so that we can have our sins paid for, so that we can live forever with you. Thank you for that. And God, if there's one in here that isn't sure what would happen if they died today, they don't know if they would spend eternity with you or if they would spend eternity away from you, but Lord, they'd like to know, I pray, God, that you would give them the courage to come down to this altar and let me show them from your word what you say about how they can have eternal life. Thank you for your love for us. And we that are saved, God, I pray you help us to take this to heart. And Lord, take this seriously and spread the good news, spread the gospel that you came and you died for our sins and rose again. Thank you. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Josh is